Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here with our panel tonight to continue in our discussion of the process of sanctification. We're looking at how important this process is because we rarely hear too much about how God desires, this is His will, for us to enter into this process so that we can be transformed. And not only transformed in our body, but transform in our soul, our mind, our heart, our spirit, okay? When we come to God and we give our lives, we say regeneration takes place in the human spirit. This is where God's spirit comes to dwell and abide. In Proverbs, it talks about how the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, and God lights it and searcheth all within us, right? So, here, this means that upon salvation, upon me accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, due to the Spirit of God working and convicting me, it is in my spirit that it gets reconnected to God or fellowship. Remember, fellowship was deadened or destroyed because of the fall. So in man's spirit, we became deadened. Our soul became ruined, and our body became compromised by Satan to use for his purposes. So this explains the fall. So when you look at family, friends, whomever, people you may know or don't know, you have to look at them not according to the flesh. Christ said, "Know no man according to the flesh." And the reason why we say this is because all of mankind is fallen. We're not sinners. People are not sinners because of what they do. We're sinners because we were born in sin, okay? We have the tendency to think that because this person does good and does things this way and they're nice and what have you, that they're okay in the eyes of God. But we're not. And so it takes a person realizing their condition and realizing what happened by the Spirit and turning to God so that God can uplift our fallen spirit, soul, and body, okay? This is, when we say saved, we got to understand these states of salvation. Salvation is, God's full salvation is big. And so when you ask a person if they're saved, you got to understand we're saved in the past tense, we're being saved, and we shall be saved, okay? We have to look at it in these tenses because when we gave our lives to Christ, upon salvation, that could have been a year ago, that could have been 20 years ago, it doesn't matter, but it's a past completed act, okay? And so we were saved. At the point of salvation, giving my life to Christ, at that point, I was placed on the starting line of change. So I'm being saved, and this is what sanctification is. We're saved in sanctification. This is what we talked about last week. So it is in sanctification where God is saving us holistically, body, soul, and spirit. So He saved us upon the day we gave our lives, wiped our sins away, removed them as far as east is from the west, and now we have to continue on the road of change. Now, if I refuse to go forward, that means the amount of holiness added to me. See, holiness is God's nature or holy element. It's an element of God that's added to my life as I go forward in this process of change, which is called sanctification. Sanctification is the process whereby God changes us. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Holiness is the element added to the believer's life, the element of God's life. And what happens in this process of holiness, or I'm sorry, in this process of sanctification, which brings about holiness, is that how holy I am is determined on how much I go on and walk in sanctification. Okay? So if I give my life to Christ and say I gave it to Him yesterday, and then I stop there because I go to religious organizations and they say, okay, you're good to go. Just now all you got to do is work and promote the ministry and promote the pastor and promote organization and work to help out the choir and do this and usher. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but oftentimes those things get in the way or take the preeminence instead of Christ. And so the believer becomes distracted because they're not looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of their faith. Now, notice in that scripture, it says in Hebrews 12, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher. So he begins it, and we're going to see here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 how he is faithful, who called us, and he also will do it. See, he's responsible for this sanctification process. So if I give my life to Christ and I divert my attention from this process to religious things and religious activities, this is why in the book of Revelation, when he talks to the seven churches, he says, I see all your good works, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. See that? They put everything else before Christ. And so that hinders their process of God's life being added to them, making them holy. Any questions about that?
So if you're saying if I get saved and I start doing all this, the work in the church, and I put all this stuff before Christ, then I'm letting that take the place of Christ teaching me, or I'm growing.
Right. When it becomes a distraction, I've seen it where, and because it's happened to me, we're more focused on the performance of it or the activity of church than we are with Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all, but I've been in religious church or been in church where my focus was more on, you know, I was a minister of music, so the singing, the playing, the performance. You know, we would have choir anniversaries, and that was every year that we were working towards that, and that was the focus. Now, there's a difference. Hear me when I say this. You got to hear by the Spirit. There's a difference when Christ is the preeminence, but yet you do those things.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ is the preeminence, you do it out of the leading of the Spirit. The Spirit may tell you, don't, you know, you're doing this, let's sing this song, let's pray this way, let's do this, let's do that. And then there's me doing it in the energy and the power or of my strength or the natural man. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not telling people not to do those things, sing,
right,
play, sing, whatever you're doing in church. I'm saying that whatever your hands find to do, if God is first or Christ is the preeminence, then you do it as unto the Lord, whether people acknowledge you doing it or not. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sometimes we get involved in stuff, and it's because we fall out in church because people not doing things the way we want, how we want, or not acknowledging me, and I feel burnout, and I'm da-da-da-da. That means Christ is not the preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you may be doing something that the Spirit didn't lead you to do.
Okay.
See that? You see what I'm saying? So don't mm-hmm. think that I'm saying we just go, nobody do anything. Because, of course, if you have church, you have a building to maintain, there are things that people will do. But the focus won't be on what we want first. It'll be on Christ sustaining us with his life and connecting us, and we all come together as one body
okay.
to accomplish God's will. Amen?
Amen.
So here, in 1 Thessalonians, let's go ahead, chapter 5, verse 23. Let's start there. This talks about how God operates, and he operates through sanctifying and preserving the believers. Let's go.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, in verse 23, it says, the and conjoins the blessing of God sanctifying our entire being. I'm reading out of the expanded Greek, which is more expressive. So I don't know if the King James, did it begin with and?
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. So it says, the and conjoins the blessing of God sanctifying our entire being, given in this verse, and the charge to abstain from every kind of evil. So that's the previous verse, which says in verse 22, abstain from every kind or every all appearance of evil. And the God of peace himself. You see this? We have a part in this sanctification process. And we saw last week we have to present our bodies living sacrifices. We have to abstain from every kind of evil. And all those from verses 14 on down, these things I have to do as the Spirit in me works. You see, as I'm presenting and I enter into this process, my part is, now think about it, if God is the box and is a box compared to a box and we're being boxed into him, that means that I'm being pushed away from everything outside of him, okay? This is what it means in that abstain from every kind of evil. I have to be careful with my members, my body, my ears, what I hear, what I see. You know, there's some images we see on TV and in the commercials that promote this evil agenda. And one, I would say homosexuality. You know, I was going to a store one day, and even the stores had a big billboard advertisement on the store, and it had two men holding hands. This is an image. See, abstain. You have to protect your eyes. What you watch and hear on TV, these things can pull you out of this process of sanctification. So this is why he says, abstain from every kind, every species of evil, every type of evil, and the God of peace himself will sanctify you wholly. And I'm getting some feedback in the background. So it says he'll sanctify you wholly, but notice it connects this and with the previous verses up top, okay? So we are responsible for abstaining. If I go and I go hang out with, you know, those in the club and say I'm here, I'm trying to witness, and every week I'm hanging out at the club, eventually as the music play, you know, it's just kind of like an automatic. You go somewhere and somebody playing secular music, what do we normally do? Our feet start tapping.
Yep.
And we start moving, right? So what happens is he's saying, use your members. You and I have to present our bodies, our members. This is preserving. This is us being preserved in body. Okay, so God has to preserve us. He's trying to preserve us holy, and all of this is done in sanctification. So God has to box us into, like we compared the cocoon and the caterpillar and the cocoon. The caterpillar is born, you know, the butterfly lays the eggs on a leaf or what have you, and then when it lays the egg, it becomes this caterpillar. And this caterpillar, all he does is eat, 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 eat. And he eats for a few weeks or a few months until he gets to the point where he's ready to be transformed. And when he's transformed, he's encased around in this cocoon, this thing that's like silk or whatever, that encases his whole being. He's been boxed into this cocoon, okay? And inside of this cocoon, all kind of stuff is taking place. His body is metamorphing. His body has to be broken and changed so that butterfly wings can become attached to this butterfly, and he's changing, okay? Everything outside of cocoon, nothing can get in, but everything the caterpillar needs to transform into the butterfly is there in that cocoon. And this is the same with you and I. Everything we need is in Christ. We are complete in him. So I have to remain in Christ. I can't step outside of this process. So when I don't abstain from all appearance of evil and I involve myself, it stops the process of me being holy, being transformed, of God's nature being added to my life. You see what I'm saying? So the progress of being changed to the day of redemption when he comes to take the body, I'm hindered. I may have started at the starting line, but I'm still at the starting line 10 years later. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Some friends, some people, even as Christians, you just can't be around because they talk negative and they act negative and they do things that contrary to what you like. And I'm not saying to isolate ourselves. Understand me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you and I have to be separated from, because a lot of times you'll find yourself somebody murmuring, complaining. There you go, murmuring.
Yeah,
murmuring,
amen.
Complaining. But he says, like you said earlier, always rejoice. And when I guarantee you, if you and I stand rejoicing, not gossiping, not involved in, you know, the world and the culture, and I say this all the time, they want to make us as minorities think that we're always victims. We're not. We're more than conquerors through in and through Christ Jesus. That mentality is, there's an agenda that wants to use us as for votes and for all these different things. But most of the time, we as Christians, we have to be watchful. This is what Christ means. Because your adversary, Satan, walks around as a roaring lion. If he can get us in the flesh, we give him an avenue or a license to use us. Didn't he use Peter?
Amen.
Right? You see, so we have to, this is when I say stuff like this, it's not that we're being political and talking about politics, but Satan uses politics and he uses people in these arenas to pull us into victimhood so the enemy can oppress. This is how Israel ended up in Egypt. See? This is how they ended up as slaves. The government of Egypt enslaved them, the ruler of Egypt. And Satan or Egypt was a type of the world, and Pharaoh was a type of Satan that was oppressing God's people. And we are in this world, but we're not of it.
Right.
Satan is the god, little g, god of this world system, but he doesn't rule over us. And this is why God has to have a body to stand and represent. We have to express God. This is why we were created in the image, so that God's life could be added to us. And this is what sanctification does. It adds God's life so that I can be an expression of Christ. God was in Christ, and he was expressed by Christ. Christ, the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of the Godhead, is in us, and the church expresses Christ. See this? This is the purpose of the church, to express Christ. And all of that means we're expressing God. Because in Genesis, what happened? God created man in his image and likeness, right?
Right.
Man should have eaten from the tree of life, which would have allowed God's life to be placed in man. But man never got that far. So we have to see the ultimate plan. The ultimate plan, or the will of God, this is what we're going to read in a second. The will of God is sanctification for us. Why? Because God wants to add his life into us. This was the original plan. Satan fights against it. This is why you and I have to abstain from all appearance of evil, all kind of evil. This is why we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, in our spirit and in our soul, and be transformed through a renewed mind. See, if I'm always around people that's thinking the same thing and saying the same thing, and we ain't never going to get nowhere, and things just going to always be bad, guess what you're going to do? More than likely, you're going to put that in your kids, and they're going to grow up with the same mentality. No, you want their minds to be renewed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want them to be transformed, and you want them, most of the time, we want our kids to do better than what we did, right?
Yes.
So we speak things that will encourage them, not make them think that they're victims and they're this and they're that. You know, I didn't hear that growing up. I didn't hear, oh, we black people just oppressed and the white man and this. I didn't hear those things. I don't know if it was said or not, but I don't know if I just didn't pay it any attention, but I didn't hear. So, but if I heard those things, then guess what? I would grow up using those things as an excuse, because the Bible says, the believer is more than a conqueror, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, any questions somebody was making? You had a comment or question? Okay. So this is why we have to, our part, abstain from every kind of evil, and the God of peace himself. If the worm never goes into the cocoon process, he will never be transformed or metamorphed into a butterfly. see that?
Mm-hmm.
So when that worm, when the butterfly lays the egg, she lays it in a not on top, but I think underneath that leaf, so that that the eggs can be protected. Okay.
Protected.
So God
mm-hmm.
places us in Christ. Y'all see this? Because if He doesn't place us in Christ, guess what? Satan will have a field day.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the seed. He says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word." It's a seed that we receive, but that word has to the potential to save the soul. See that? He says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, for it is able to save the soul." This is
mm-hmm.
This is salvation in sanctification. This is salvation, the sanctification or the preservation of the soul. See, God, this is what He means by sanctifying us holy. See that?
Where are you reading that from? What book is that?
We're in 1 Thessalonians. Which part? The one I said.
What you just said. Where is that? Are you quoting that from? What?
Did you talk about the scripture about receive with meekness, the engrafted word?
Yes.
I can give.
Yes.
I'll give it to you at the end, okay?
Oh, okay.
Let me give it to you at the end, because I'm going
mm-hmm.
to. I'll be quoting scriptures sometimes, and
okay.
may not have the exact location, but I can give it to you. So I'll write that one down. Or you remind me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Write it down for me, okay?
Yep. Okay.
All right. So just understand that it is God. We have to receive God's life, which is the engrafted word, and the Bible says is able to save the soul. So that's the sanctification, salvation and sanctification, and we're going to go to that scripture in a minute. So notice here in verse 23, "And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame." Now notice he says be preserved, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be preserved in holiness. Let's go over. You can turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3.
Therefore, when we could no longer.
Wait 1 second. I got to get that scripture right quick. Chapter 3. Verse 13.
The last one. "So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints."
Yes. Okay. So see here, notice here, it says so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
What is
mm-hmm.
holiness? Holiness here is the state of holiness, okay, which comes about through the process of sanctification. So here he's going to establish. The word establish here means to make stable. What is he making stable? Our what? Verse 13. To establish that he may establish your what?
Heart unblameable in holiness for God.
So he wants to establish our hearts. So in other words, he wants to make stable our hearts. So in the scriptures, it says that, and I think in Jeremiah, I think it was 17, I can have to go there. It talks about how the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Mm-hmm.
It talks about how the issues, and I'm getting some feedback if y'all can mute the lines. It talks about how the issues of life flows from the heart. See this?
Mm-hmm.
What makes our heart unstable is the fact that we were born in sin, and it was due to the fall. Even after salvation, our hearts have to be, and I'm going to have to mute some lines because I'm getting a lot of feedback and I'm recording. So even after salvation, our hearts have to be established, has to be fixed, has to be settled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are y'all hearing? I'm hearing a radio or something in the background. Can y'all mute? I have other lines, so I don't know which one it is. So it'll help me if y'all would mute the line just to get down. I'm hearing music or stuff in the background. Thank you very much. So it says here that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness. Now, the reason why he has to establish, he has to fix, our hearts are changeable. Y'all ever thought about, you know, 1 minute you be for this, and then based upon how you feel and your emotions, after you calm down,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, they all right.
mm-hmm.
But when they hurt our feelings, you know, that heart entails the soul, which is our mind, our will, emotions, and our conscience, okay? That's the center of us. And so when you read in Hebrews 4:12, it talks about how there is the dividing of sunder of spirit and soul and spirit, and it brings forth to surface the intents of the heart. So the heart is in the middle ground between the soul and the spirit. So it is the conscience part of the spirit, and is the soulish part of us. The soulish part of us is our being, okay? It is us in our being, our psyche, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so in that, this is what where we get psychology and all that stuff. And so in the fall, remember, what God is doing in salvation, which comes through sanctification, we're going to see this in a minute, is that he has to preserve us. Remember, this preservation, what we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he's preserving us to be blameless. And all this takes place in holiness. So the only way he can make me blameless is in the process of sanctification, which declares or makes me holy. So remember, salvation, when you ask people are they saved, always remember it's a three-part thing. It entails I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. It's all three tenses, okay? Because justification, when I gave my life, God remembers my sin no more. And then as I go on to progress and be changed, God's life is being added to me, and we're going to get there in Romans 5 in a minute. So God, his life is being added. Now, how holy I am is based upon how much I stay in Christ and abstain from all appearance of evil. So remember mm-hmm. the butterfly or the worm in the cocoon. If that mm-hmm. cocoon opens up and all of these elements from outside come in, it can frustrate the process of this development of this worm turning into a butterfly, okay? Mm-hmm. Once that process is complete, that butterfly comes out of the cocoon because there's a lot of transformation that takes place. The body has to go through metamorphosis, okay? It has to be changed. And so in Christ, or in sanctification, we're going through a lot of emotional stuff because guess what? You think, well, they hurt my feelings. What do they mean by saying this and saying that? And God says, you're in the process. You are battling out your will against my will. It's no different than us wrestling with Jacob. You see, Jacob meant planner, trickster, schemer. That's who he was in the flesh. But Jacob had to be changed, and his name was changed to Israel after he was broken. See that? Mm-hmm. It took place inwardly, and then outwardly he was touched in body. You see, we have to go through this process where we're changed inwardly, and outwardly it'll manifest itself that I've been broken.
Amen.
I've been broken. He says, when I'm weak, then he can show up strong. You see that? Because in the flesh, we're mm-hmm. strong. We're strong in the flesh according to the natural man and our own ability. But God cannot work when we're strong. This is why we must decrease so that his life can increase. And this decreasing yeah. come by way of the cross. The cross, the purpose of the cross is twofold. It justifies me. It redeems me with his blood. But at the same time, God gives me his life, so that I can live for him. The just shall live by faith in him and what he's accomplished. Amen?
Yes.
So in verse 13, he says, I'm going to read 12. And the Lord calls you to increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we also to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless. How's he going to do it? In holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. So this is going to take place up until the day you and I die.
Amen.
God has to fix our heart, make our heart stable, help us to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. When there is a drought, your leaves will remain green. See that? So it goes back to what you said earlier, Sister Jerry. It doesn't matter what I go through in this life. This is why the Hebrew boys could face a fiery furnace and not be afraid.
Right.
Because their hands and their lives were in God's hands. And they said, if we perish, we perish. But if God desires to save us, so be it. See that?
Amen.
And this is where, why? Because their hearts were established. It was fixed. It was stable. It was placed firmly on the firm foundation, Jesus Christ, the rock, Christ. So they were fixed. You see this?
Yes.
We're not fixed. We'll be one minute, we over here. Next minute, oh, I love you, Lord. God is good, and let the wind blow. Oh, God, what am I going to do? You see that?
Yeah.
So God has to, this is the purpose of sanctification. He has to establish our hearts, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my conscience, blameless in holiness. So I'm going to be preserved or established blameless. It's holiness in the process of sanctification that's going to establish me blameless. See, you and I have an adversary. If you don't know who you are in Christ, You have an adversary, and you have people that are working against you and I because they're working against God. And if you're not established in your heart to be blameless, you'll take what people say and what they think of you, and you'll be moved. See that? So God, in holiness, he establishes you and I blameless. So our conscience, remember Paul said, O wretched man that I am in Romans 7, who can deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Christ Jesus. Because Paul kept saying, I want to do what's right, but something in me always causes me to do what's wrong. But in Romans 8, he says, I thank God through Christ Jesus that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. See that? If I'm in Christ, God is in the process of fixing my heart and establishing me blameless in holiness. That's in sanctification. The reason why many of us are moved by feelings and emotions and whatever happens outside of us is because we're not fixed and established, and we're not allowing God's process of adding his holy nature to us be established in our hearts. Any questions on that,
for
further?
Yeah, on that. You know, a lot of times you might feel a little uncomfortable in something you said or did. You know, you acted a little hastily, you know, and so then you say, Lord, you know, forgive me.
Yes.
You know, I acted on emotion and didn't really think about it. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, forgive me. If I said anything, did anything wrong.
Right.
You know, please forgive me. And I guess that is where it comes in that, you know, you're asking the Lord to hold you blameless. I mean, because you really don't want to.
Right.
You know,
right.
At this point, I don't want to do what's wrong. I want to do what's right. And I don't want to say or do anything that does hurt someone's feelings. And if I do, I'm asking for Lord, forgive me.
Very excellent.
You know?
Excellent point. Excellent point. Because he did not say establish your hearts without blemish, nor did he say establish your hearts perfect. You notice that? He said, blameless.
I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. And this is what he means. He's fixing or establishing us to be blameless before God because we're in Christ and it's his blood that passes over our faults. So it's our position. We have to remain established, stay stable in Christ. Like you said, we're going to mess up. We're not perfect. But we will get to the point where that failure will not be so frequent.
Okay. No, you're right. You're
we'll
right.
get to the point
mm-hmm.
where, you know,
right.
the more that I stay in him and with him and in this process, you'll see
right.
less and less of those failures and faults showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
Amen.
Glad you said
Amen.
That. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's turn over to, now let's go over to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And let's start at verse 2.
Verse 2.
Uh-huh.
For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
Okay. Now notice, it's the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, earlier we said abstain from all appearance of what?
Evil.
Right. That was in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Notice he says, this is the will of God. Paul gives this charge through the Lord Jesus, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Verse 4, keep going.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
See that? So sanctification is big. We are saved in and through sanctification.
Yeah.
Okay? We have to allow God. See, salvation is in sanctification or through sanctification. So here he says in verse 3, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And we said sanctification is the process. Holiness is the element, God's nature being added to us. So in sanctification, God adds his holy character and nature. So as long as I stay in the process, in the cocoon, in the box, if I'm boxed in with God, God's life, God's holy element is being added to me. So how holy I am, as we said before, is based upon how much I am in sanctification. See this? If I'm in and out, you know, 1 minute, and I'm just using examples. If I'm always, the things I see, I hear, these things, they can pull you away from this process.
Right.
The talk you engage yourself in, the communication, those things pull us in and out, and they affect your rejoicing in the Lord, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 14 down to verse 23. It affects your exhorting one another and encouraging the saints. All of that will affect your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your body. So how much I hang out in the world, in the people of the world, and the things of the world, and the influences of the world, it affects your sanctification. This is why he said he preserves us blameless in sanctification, not in the world, not in engaged in all kind of evil and fornication. Notice here, he says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Now, fornication, we know, can be have sexual connotation, and it also, in the scriptures, it dealt with idol worship or idolatry. So when we look at fornication deals with going outside of the will of God, because I think we read in Hebrews how Esau, for the love of the meat, he discarded the spiritual inheritance. He placed food for his belly, the desire for food, over the birthright. You see that? So fornication in the spirit realm is dealing with you and I going outside of God's will, God's way, God's process. When you're dealing with marriage and you're dealing with relationships and the sexual side of it, people were engaged who were, let's say, in activities, sexual activities that weren't married. Or if people were married and they went outside of that marriage, and you see what I'm saying? That was fornication because you left the right process and you went away that was appetizing to the lustful flesh and your own desires, you see? So when we go outside of God's way here, it was spirit, it was idolatry. They were going according to things that were idol worship and things that were contrary to God's way. okay? And so that's fornication, because what? We're supposed to be in relationship with God. He's the preeminence. He's the head. And so just like Jezebel came in and she calls the people of God, because those people, Jezebel, she came in. She wasn't a part of Israel. Ahab was. He was the king. But he allowed her influences. He married somebody outside of you know, Israel, and then he allowed her, I think she was Phoenician, if I'm not mistaken, he allowed her to bring her worship in, and all the people had to do away with the worship of God. What did Jezebel do? She killed the prophets and the priests of God and replaced them with Baal worship, Baal priest. See that? Elijah was like, I'm the only one standing. And she was causing all of Israel to fornicate or commit adultery or to go away from God's prescribed order and God's way. They were becoming fornicators, okay? So here, this is why he says you and I have to, the will of God is our sanctification. This is what he wants, and he wants it, and we have to be boxed into God, and so we have to abstain from all fornication. Why in verse 4?
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessels in sanctification and honor.
Okay, let me read the notes here. It says here, it says, God's will is that his redeemed people, the believers in Christ, live a life of holiness according to his holy nature, a life separated, wholly separated unto him from anything other than him. For this he is sanctifying us wholly. See, I have to make sure that I'm not engaged and involved in things that pull me away from him and his way. A lot of times people are kind of careless with that. You know, we think what we see and hear on TV don't affect us, but it dulls the senses. And this is why he has to come and say, awake, thou that sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. He was speaking to the believers. Satan knows what it takes to get us to get rocked to sleep. He wants to rock us to sleep on the things, the spiritual things. And so in sanctification, you and I should be progressing more and more towards God. Now, sometimes on this path, there are things that may happen that knock us and we stray and we get knocked back a couple of steps. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means your progression towards godlikeness in your immediate life is being hindered. And sometimes those things God allow, and you may go back one or two steps, but then you may learn from it and get and bounce back up three steps. You see what I'm saying? Because we have to apply this practically. So none of us are free from faults or free from failure. Failure can be a good thing if we can learn from it. So we're going to fail. It's not if. It's just when. So when it happens, you and I, a just man falls down, what, seven times, but then he do what?
Get back up.
Right. It is the Spirit of God, amen, in him, in us, that convicts us, that strengthens us, and it causes us to rejoice. Lord, I tried it my way. It doesn't work. I trust you.
Yeah.
Lord, I thought I could lean and depend upon people, but I see I needed you all along. You see that?
Amen.
So the prodigal son had to come to his senses when he had to realize that these folks meant him no good. They used him up, and then he had nothing. When he had nothing, they were nowhere to be found.
Amen.
Let me go back to the Father.
Yes. Amen.
So don't think that we're saying we're living a life perfect without fault, but because you're in Christ, you are being perfected. You see what I'm saying? Christ is perfect.
Amen.
He's perfect. He's without fault. And because he is and I'm in Christ, God sees the blood. So when Satan goes to accuse us as the brethren, Christ can throw up the nail-scarred hand and say,
amen.
They're in me. This is why you and I can't come out of Christ. This is what Satan wants. He wants to lure us out of Christ.
Too late for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Get back.
Praise God.
Any questions on that before I go further?
But don't you think that once you get that word in you and learn what Christ did for us, don't you think that even if you want to do, you have a conviction you won't do it?
Right.
Yes.
Do you think
well,
that sometimes you may want to do something, you know, but then you don't want to do nothing to hurt yourself, and you remember where you was at one time, and you just won't do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We can get there. But sometimes it depends on your power source. Because if I'm trying not, I don't want to do it in my strength, and I'm leaning on my strength not to do, that's going to fail me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he says,
that's
not by
what?
Your
well, you
not by your power.
You?
I'm sorry, say it again.
No, what did you say? That's going to fail you?
If I'm leaning and depending on my strength, my willpower, and my energy. He says it's not by your power, nor by your might, but by the Spirit. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it has to be, because we can have willpower, but Satan can override willpower. This is why the power has to be in the power of his might.
Right.
And this is why Paul said, I want to do what's right. He had a willing mind and desire to do what was right, but he said he found himself doing the wrong. And so this is why we need transformation, because the natural mind, the natural strength, the heart can't do it. It has to be transformed. It has to be transformed so that God can establish us and cause us not to be changeable, but to be rooted and grounded on truth and the love of
the
gospel. Amen?
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Romans 5, I think we'll go there. We're going to do some finger exercises. Night. Y'all been working out. Y'all been working out that Bible, working fingers in that Bible.
Yes.
All right. Romans 5. Let's go over here. Keep an eye on my time. And I think it's verse
8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Amen. Keep going.
Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him.
All right. So the cross is twofold. It justifies us or redeems us through his shed blood, and we're also going to be saved. We need his life to be saved, to live day to day through him from the wrath. Keep going.
For if when we were in enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
All right, let me read it in the expanded Greek. For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more we will be saved in his life. Notice it said in his life. Having been reconciled. Keep going, read verse 11.
And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Okay, so notice we were enemies. God, we were reconciled. See, we needed to be saved, and we needed to be reconciled back to God. We need to be redeemed, and we need to be reconciled because we were enemies against God. So through Christ's death, he saves us, and in his life, he saves us. You see this? So his life was added to us upon salvation because of his redemption. And now what Christ does is, remember, his life has to grow and expand in us. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. His life has to expand in us, and it has to grow. So this is what sanctification is. Sanctification is Christ making his abode, the Spirit of Christ making his abode, where he's trying to dwell throughout my entire being, body, soul, and spirit. So I have to allow him this, I have to make room for him to grow in me. Okay? Y'all at, what did I say? Ephesians 3?
Okay, Ephesians 3.
You said Ephesians. I can't remember which chapter.
Yeah, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's verse, we'll start at verse 14.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Okay, so notice Paul's prayer for the believers is that he would, he says, that he, verse 16, that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man. See, this is how we're going to be able to live for God. Our inner man, remember, it was weak and it was dead. It was dead in our, it was corrupted. And when Christ comes in, he uplifts me, body, soul, and spirit. So even though in the mind of God it's a completed, past completed action that has present results, okay? When he died at the cross, his past completed action back then has present results for us right now. So in the mind of God, it's completed. But in reality, remember, God, with time, when he come in time, God has to allow this process to actually take place in me. Subjectively, I have to be worked upon.
Mm-hmm.
Objectively, mm-hmm. It's an accomplished fact. But subjectively, I have to experience this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
Okay, stop right there. I want to stop right there. Notice, this is Paul's prayer. And he wants us to be strengthened in the inner man. This strengthening takes place through the process of sanctification. How or why? Because remember, holiness is God's life being added to me. The element of God is there. The divine nature is there in me, but God has to spread out. Sanctification is God spreading himself throughout in me. This process will allow me to be transformed. Just like the butterfly, the worm transforms into the butterfly, I'm being worked upon or metamorphed into the mold of Jesus Christ. I'm being made into the image of Jesus Christ. So just like that worm goes through some excruciating pains and changes to become a butterfly, you and I got to encounter some changes, some things that hurt, don't feel good, because it's contrary to my natural man, my natural being.
Amen.
So he says what? The reason why we need to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that means your heart, your soul, your spirit, is that Christ may dwell or make his home in your hearts. How? What's the process? What is he going to use to do this?
By faith?
Yes. Through faith. You see this? So you and I have to have faith in his redemption plan, which saves me first, redeems me, then his life saves me. See this? His life is being worked in me so that I can be saved. Remember, I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. This will take place, and we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter, I think it was 3 or chapter 4, how God will do this until the day of Jesus Christ when he returns.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, he will redeem the body. See that? So I'm saved. I'm sanctified holistically, body, soul, and spirit. It'll be complete at that time. So I'll be given a glorified body. I'll be saved body, soul, and spirit. Because what? Body, soul, and spirit fell in the garden at the fall. So Christ wants to make his home in our hearts through faith. So how much Christ settled down and make himself, enlarge himself in my life and express himself through me is determined or based upon my faith in him. my faith in what he's accomplished for me and what he's doing. So that means that, like you said earlier, when we see when things, bad things happen, you know, things that don't go my way, I, through faith, know and believe that God is working everything for the good. There's some stuff he has to work out of me so that he can work himself in me. See that? So by me believing this, remember, faith is that I don't see it, but it is faith that is used to substantiate what I don't see. I believe it. I may not see it, but I trust God and I believe him. And as the Hebrew boy said, I may have to go in the fiery furnace. If he chooses to save us, thank you, Jesus. If he chooses not, he's doing it for his good. This is what we have to come to the conclusion. That whatever God is working, the reason why that person don't like you or angry at you, or and I'm not saying stuff because of what you've done. I'm saying when you're doing in the will of God and you're walking according to sanctification, and you may have issues in life with people or whatever, don't be trying to, oh, let me figure out and let me work it out. You turn to God and let God work himself out in you and I. Y'all see? Because sometimes God has to work stuff out of us. We don't see us. But God has to work, because we read earlier that he will sanctify us and be blamed in 1 Thessalonians 5. And it said, and that we will have honor before men. See this? We should have honor, or stand in honor before men, meaning that we should not be there to represent Christ and not do things that are contrary, that cause friction and all those things. Y'all hear me? So it says that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that faith that you being what?
Rooted and grounded.
Blameless.
Rooted and grounded in love. We got to be rooted. This is why we go through, because we have to be rooted and grounded in his love. See, we think, oh, I love you, I love the world, I love my children, I love my spouse. But is it your love, which is conditional? When it's his love, when they say stuff that get on our last nerve, guess what? I learn not to come back. I learn not to go off and, you know, hey, I fell for it time and time again. But after God makes himself enlarged in my heart through faith, and I trust you, Lord. I ain't got to defend myself. I ain't got to promote myself. I trust you in the midst of this. Then God can become enlarged and rooted in my heart through love. Because my love for him outweighs what people say or do to me, you know, I'm not offended. Some of us, we wear our feelings on our sleeves, and God's saying, it's not about you. It's about me showing up and showing out. It's about me being there so that person can see themselves in need of a Savior. But sometimes we show up and we give them a piece of our mind, and now they don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Sometimes we show up and we act a certain way, and people are like, they're not compelled to come to Christ. We repel them. People running away. I don't want to have nothing to do with him or her. See that?
Yeah.
Let's finish this, and I'm going to have to close. Verse 18.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
You went away for a minute, Sister Cherry. But it says that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now notice here, this is what sanctification does. It's adding Christ into our lives. This is what I want us to see. When Christ is added or enlarged and make his home or his abode in us, he's dwelling in us and he has to spread out. Just like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, he said he saw the Lord. When King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Remember, we're the temple, and God dwells in us. And so God, if he dwells, his train, everything has to fill the temple. God's life, God's nature has to fill us and be expressed through us. And the way he's expressed is in when we become rooted and grounded in Christ's love, not in church, not in religious activities. See, many of us have been rooted and grounded in doctrines and religious activities and traditions outside of Christ. And so God says, I come to make my abode in your heart, where you had the love and of men and people and religious stuff. I need to dwell there. So those things have to be uprooted or terminated, and God's life, I have to be rooted in Christ's love. When I'm rooted in Christ's love, then I may be full of strength to apprehend with all saints. You see this? This is me becoming connected to the body because I'm connected to Christ as the head. And if I'm connected to Christ as the head, the life supply flows. The life supply of Christ flows from the head to the body parts, the members of the body. Then I can apprehend. See, Christ is so big, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, the dimension. These are dimensions of Christ. And these dimensions are in our experiences of Christ. I can see as I experience Christ and he dwells or makes his home in me, I have to learn. It comes through all of my experience day by day. I get to see the breadth of him in my experience, the length, how horizontal he is, how wide he is. See, this is when we start advancing in Christ and we experience his height and his depth, the depth of his riches, all the things. See, this when I said before last week that, and we'll have to close, that objectively, how I see Christ objectively, if I'm not growing and seeing him expand more and more day by day, this will determine how much he grows in me subjectively as I'm being worked upon in my experience. If all I know about Christ is he died for my sins, Jesus loved the world, Jesus, you know, what's the little songs we sing? Jesus loves me, this I know. I'm not demeaning it, but I have to go on and understand the riches, the depth, the height. There's so much to Christ. I have to see him in as the manna, as the bread of life, the same as the rock of our salvation and how he supplies all of our needs. I have to see him in the tabernacle, how he was the lampstand and how he's the, y'all see, on the outside, he's the brazen altar and he's the brazen laver and how all these things, the altar of incense, these are the depths. There's so much to Christ that we rarely go on further and become strengthened and rooted in him to see these things in him because we only stay at a certain point. So if I objectively only know him as, well, God knows my heart. Every time I fail, I'll never get past that failure because I want to stay there. I don't want to see him corrected. I don't want him to abode and make himself at home further down, get past all that stuff, uproot those rocks and stoniness and thorniness that's there in my heart. And on that note, I'm going to close. If anybody got questions or comments, just hold them. Hold on, and we'll take them at the end of the call. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We said a lot, and I know that it was a lot, but we pray that what was said, that by way of the Spirit, that he will give you the revelation that you need to take and apply it and grow. So until next week, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.